We are back. We are back to the Drive Time Radio Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, Big Vern, Slay Diddy, Ray, a.k.a. the Grand Finale. We're in the building. Slay, we got some special guests here today.
Yes,
man.
Yes.
I got the clap out. I brought the clap, but I also brought the applause.
Oh,
brought it. This is my one time because, you know, I can get away with it today. Do you know, Ray, if you don't have a microphone, you can't be heard. Slay, do me a favor, man, and introduce our first guest, man. I'm privileged, man. I'm gonna give her a clap.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start. But
okay, that's a good start.
I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I am going to give her an applause at some point. So just know it's gonna happen. But we'll start out with the clap. I don't have a problem with working with the team. I can do that. Here we go. Slay, help me out.
She's been here so much.
I know,
that
right?
She really needs no introduction, so I'll let you kind of introduce yourself. But we have with us here today our superintendent of the school district, Dr.
Doctor. Wait. Emphasis. That's the applause,
yeah,
right
that,
there.
Yeah,
now
go
I can
ahead.
Get an applause right there. Let me get it out of the way.
All right. Dr. Maria Suttmeyer. You wanna?
Hello, everybody. So nice to be back.
I can't hear you.
Oh, how come?
All right, now I can hear you.
There we go.
Thank you for inviting us back. We were here last week for a very special occasion with a student getting a scholarship, and now I'm here with our business administrator, Sharifa Carbon.
I think I could give Sharifa the clap because she never said no. She didn't say no to the applause.
Say no to the applause and yes to the clap.
Yes to the clap.
Don't be a sheep. Just do whatever you want to do. I'm sorry.
So we're pleased to be here to talk about our budget. It seems like we were just here not too long ago talking about the budget.
The year really
goes by very quickly.
Yes.
So thank you for having us in. We are looking for people to come out and vote on the school budget on May 15th. It starts at noon at the John L. Edwards School here in Hudson, but there's also other polling locations throughout Hudson at the Greenport Community Center as well as the A.B. Shaw Firehouse in Claverick. Mm-hmm. And it's about a $48 million budget this year to sustain existing programs, but also to continuously improve our school district and open up additional opportunities for our students as well. As you know, we launched Destination Graduation just over 5 years ago, and that's really caught on. It's got some great momentum behind it. It's got a lot of meaning and goals and targets behind it. But what we're doing is we're expanding it to occupation. Okay. So it's not just about graduating from high school across our stage, but it's also what are you going to do after you graduate? And whether you go into the military or you go into college or you go directly into the workforce, all of us, even as adults, need an occupation. That's what we're preparing our students for. So that's where we're expanding our mantra from Destination Graduation to occupation. And with that comes opportunities for students to actually have real-time experiences out in the community through our YES program, but also by having community members come into our schools and talk to the students about the opportunities that exist.
Okay, can I ask you a question, Doctor? I'm just going to leave it at Doctor. I was just wondering, why isn't it publicized about the school board and the budget elections the way it is like for the regular political elections? Because it's very hard to find information about when it is and where it's at. And is there a reason for that?
Well, I guess we could learn from you and from our community because we feel like we are shouting it out. You know, we have these handsome-looking blue and gold newsletters that are mailed out to everyone that's a taxpayer in our district. We also have flyers. We were at the book festival talking to many, many people that came through our doors that day about the book festival. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. It's on our website. We do a robocall reminding people about the budget vote. It's always the second Tuesday in May. So just like the book festival is every first Saturday in May, we hope people that would remember, you know, school votes are important because our students need that support. They need to know that the community is behind them and that they want their school district to improve and sustain all of the programs that are helping them to become who they need to be after they graduate.
How happy are you or impressed are you with the results of the Capitol Project? I live close to the school. I know that they're doing some of the repairing and building over there. The track looks amazing and everything like that. Could you talk about that?
I can. I'm in awe of how much we've been able to accomplish with this Capitol Project. To give our Blue Hawks the pride of having their first home track meet for the first time in as long as I can remember, and I've been in the district for 18 years, they're just thrilled to be able to play under the lights. Soccer, football has just been wonderful for our students. I really think it empowers them and makes them feel that we care, that we're investing in them. We want them to grow as athletes. We want them to take opportunities to stay healthy. And this is a message that the whole community got behind. We had great voter turnout for the Capitol Project that we've never really seen before. Almost 70% of our taxpayers came out and voted yes. And then with the building, you know, it's been an exciting year to see our track open at the beginning of this school year. And then the progress that we're making on the building to merge pre-K through 5 under one roof, to have that theory of practice where students are not transitioning as many times, is really something to look forward to have teachers collaborating. And there's, you know, there's always an emotional connection to a building that has been there forever. A lot of people have fond memories, but there comes a time where you need to right-size your district and make sure that you're progressively moving in the right direction for students.
Slay?
What's the most important part of this vote that people should really get out for? I know you bought Sharifa, and whenever there's money involved, show up.
There is money involved, yes. It's you know, our tax limit this year was 3.85, which is calculated with the guidelines given to us. And we felt that we could do with less than that, that we could shave off at, you know, the 0.6 that we did and go out with less and ask for a 3.25. Because when we look at what we need to do to sustain our programs and also grow the opportunities for our students, we felt we could do it with less than what the tax levy maximum was. So we're giving back to the community again this year. We did the same thing last year, and that's just over $250,000. So we only ask for what we absolutely require.
Okay.
And what's most important, I think, is to get behind the kids. And, you know, we can't do it. One of our students that came to our last board meeting heard $48 million when he asked, you know, what is this budget? And he kind of thoughtfully said, well, you know what, that sounds like a lot of money, but when you really think about it, you've got 1,800 students, and you've got all of these buildings, and you've got buses that run, and sports, and, you know, we're not, it's really not that much money when you think about what we're doing with it, and educating students, mm-hmm. and preparing them for the future.
So what would it mean for this not to pass? What kind of ramifications would it have on the district?
I'm going to pass it over to the person with the numbers.
The ramifications would be the district would be faced with deciding whether or not to put out either an adjusted budget, the same budget, or go straight to what's called a contingency budget. Under a contingency budget, only certain expenses are allowed, so our contractual obligations. Our facilities, which our community uses, and we are more than happy to be able to have them available for the community to use, we would not be able to do that without being paid for that, which would be a huge shift. Some of the initiatives that we're putting forth to actually enrich our kids, which we are excited about doing this year instead of just talking about mandated needs, they would be off the table and postponed. So those would be the ramifications. But if you don't mind, I'd like to speak to some of the things that we're also doing to put us in a position where we can move forward and enrich our students without asking for the maximum allowable levy. Over the past couple of years, we've shifted how we do things on the operations side to try to save money. We were able to refinance some of our existing debt, which was a cost savings, to make room for further progress and also to facilitate the reserves that we've built up. And the district currently has an A-plus credit rating with Standard & Poor's, which helps also tremendously. We've reestablished banking relationships that allow us to get additional interest income, which also adds to the pie. We have changed our purchasing, some of our purchasing relationships, which gives us more opportunities to save more money for the districts just on a day-to-day basis, so that as we're talking about initiatives and we're talking about moving forward to occupation for our students and preparation and giving them more enrichment opportunities, it doesn't cost the district as much more than our previous baseline. So that was important to all of us. And I'm glad to say that for the district. But also I want to speak to one item that's going to be on the ballot is our repair reserve. Mm-hmm. The district has set aside $715,000. It's not money out of the budget for 2018-19. It's their funds that are currently sitting in our reserve accounts, our saving accounts. However, we need voter approval to transfer that money into a formal reserve so that funds set aside, a savings account, so to speak, so that we can take care of our existing facilities. As we all know, MCSIS, the main building is an old building. There's going to be maintenance. There are going to be repairs that are still needed, even though we have the addition. We now have our fabulous Blue Hawk complex. That's going to require maintenance, and mm-hmm. maintenance is not cheap. And we have to be in a position where we can do those things that we need to do and be prepared for unexpected emergencies without affecting our current budget. So as we plan and we prepare, our minds are also always set aside on protecting future budgets so that we're not having to come to the taxpayers for additional funds more than we absolutely need for our day-to-day operations, and that's very important.
Woo. I don't care. Wait.
Left that
Hold
thing
on.
Smoking.
Hold on. You guys can get upset with me, but I'm giving her the applause. I'm giving her the applause.
I feel honored.
Wow, I'm deep. A little upset because she wiped out half the questions.
I had questions that we had.
She just went through. And I want to mention, and then I want to let you know. I was like, all right, well, that was
I would like to add one exciting thing to that, though, is we just had the official unveiling of.
No. That's my question.
Okay, I'll let you ask.
Oh, man, they're too good, man. They're too good. Oh, man. And because I try to keep up on all the stuff that's going on. And I was going to ask you, I hope you were talking about the solar panels, right?
I am.
All right. Can you tell us about the solar panels?
Sure.
Say that. Go down on my check.
Sure. Just today, I was very pleased to invite people from NYSERDA, NYPA, and from also New York's Power Authority onto our premises for an official unveiling of our solar panels. And if you haven't seen them, you know, I've seen them through drone pictures and from afar, but I got up there close and personal today, and it's a farm. It's a large group of solar panels. And what's exciting about this is through a grant, they were able to erect these panels on our property way out behind where our new field is. So they erected them for free to the school district. It was through a grant. And I have to give a big thank you to our superintendent of buildings and grounds, George Keeler. He tried for this grant 5 times. Wow. And this time it really went through. And we were able to secure these panels for our district. And what that means and how this rolls out to taxpayers eventually is it didn't cost us anything to erect these panels, but yet we will get a credit close to 60% of what our electricity would normally cost us on the junior senior high campus. Yeah. So there's one of those other savings where we're aggressively going after grants and looking for ways that we can cut costs for the public to support our budget. So this will be something that we will experience next year because we just turned the power on for these solar panels in April, so we haven't yet received that credit. But this will be influential for next year's budget development.
Nice. Wow. I gotta give a clap. I can clap. And Mr. Keeler, too.
Now, I remember, I want to say a few years ago, we went into a contingency budget, and that was a time where there was like a lot of cuts. Sports was on the line. Mm-hmm. A lot of our arts and stuff like that. What can we add to this so that we don't go into that again?
Yeah, I remember those times firsthand, and you're right. Sports was cut because mm-hmm. anything that's not mandated is subject to being cut, and you are only allowed to budget just so much if you go into a contingency budget. So we weren't allowed, even as a school district, if we wanted to. So the Booster Club rose to the occasion. Mm-hmm. The leadership of Pat Malloy that came out and really mm-hmm. beat the drums that our kids needed to remain the athletes, and they had to have the sports opportunities. But what's at stake with things like that is non-mandated programs. Mm-hmm. As crazy as it sounds, kindergarten's not mandated.
Yeah,
so imagine that, you know, a lot of the arts and computer classes for elementary students and library, you have to look at everything that the state says You don't necessarily have to have these in your classes, in your schools. So it is devastating to students and to families that are participating in our school system whenever a budget goes down. And like Sharifa said, you can put the same budget up again, you can put it up with an adjustment and just hope more people come out to vote. So that's why every vote matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To stay home and think, ah, we got this, is not really the right attitude.
No.
Because we don't always have it. And then if you have to go out, that's when people start to realize that it does matter. So it matters right from the start. We have signs all around our community this year for the first time. So we do think that we've gotten better with getting the vote out and advertising that Tuesday's the day to express what you would like to do, you know, with the school district's budget. So they're hopefully eye-catching, and Sharifa did a great job of designing those.
I want to talk about a program. I seen another picture with you with a bunch of young gentlemen, my brother's keeper. Mm-hmm. Would you mind talking about that?
I'd be delighted to. And I will also have Sharifa speak about the work that she's been doing personally with these young men. Mr. Mike from the after school program, Mike Fulton, this was his dream from the very beginning. And when we were offered the opportunity for a My Brother's Keeper, also known as MBK grant, he really brought his vision to the table. And we had grant writers and our coordinator of school improvement, April Prestipino, sitting at the table designing what this might look like. So this is for about a dozen young boys of color in our junior high school that come together and are given extra supports, extra opportunities, working with mentors. And yesterday, they filed into my office with amazing suits and ties, and they felt empowered. They felt the power of walking into the superintendent's office, and they sat around my conference table and took pictures. And I spoke to a couple today, and they just said it felt great to have that special moment and to know that people really care about them and are looking to teach them what it's all about to be a gentleman and to have aspirations for the future. And I just want to hand it over to Sharifa, because she comes out of her office and out of her duties as the business administrator to interact with students, which you don't always see from her position.
I had the pleasure, more so last semester than this semester, of working with them during a tutoring period. Mr. Mike and Darren Collins allowed me to come in to help specifically with the math portion. And those young men are so amazing. And just for me, it's one of the pleasures of being in Hudson City School District to have been able to interact with them. And I've really missed them, because after the holidays with budget season and other things coming up, I could not get over there as I would like to. And I would say all the time how much I missed them. But they are just so special and so committed, and they call themselves the Brotherhood, and that they are.
Yeah, they are.
And we are so very proud of them.
And yeah. They are representing the Hudson City School District.
That gave me a little chill.
Yeah, me too, man. I got to give them a clap. Yeah, I definitely have to give them a clap. It was
But I think those are like the untold stories that happen in the district, and they happen, you know, more often than not. You know, we have a business manager. It makes sense to bring out the math person to help, and not only, you know, her be a woman of color. You know, I think that's huge, and I think that's something that's rarely spoken about in the district, and that's, you know, those things that happen behind the scenes just shows the power of Hudson. So we want to thank you.
Yeah,
I
definitely do. I'm going to get another clap. Another clap for that, man.
It's a pleasure to be here.
This morning, it was great. Anything else you guys want to add?
Just that, you know, we are looking into increasing what we offer students in the way of STEAM programs. So, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math is the STEM program that everybody hears about. But we call it STEAM, because, and so do other school districts that provide this type of additional art opportunities. So instead of just the STEM, we're looking at embellishing what we're already doing with the arts as well. Another program that we're bringing to the district this summer, and we hope to expand upon it next summer once it gains momentum, is Camp Invention. And that dovetails into what we're going to be doing with a STEAM program within the school days next year. And this gives them an opportunity as students come together this summer, they'll have, you know, kind of a precursor to what's to come. So they'll have this camp for 1 week where they can bring home a couple of robots that they've made, and it just ignites their creativity because students are just naturally curious about the world. They're naturally creative. So this will give them an opportunity to work with their hands and use their minds to solve problems. And then they'll see that within their school walls when they come back to school in September. These few students, we can only offer it to 40 students this summer, but it's open enrollment. We're hoping students will catch on, and then next year we want to double that once they've had the opportunity within the school year to engage in those types of programs. We're hoping that we can double that camp invention the following year.
The last thing that I have to say is I'm excited, and Maria, I see you as the superintendent is like the boss. Like, everybody has to answer to the boss. And I'm very excited when I heard that Rashad Barksdale will be doing the speech at the graduation this year. Can you talk about it a little bit? I mean, Rashad is a local guy, a Hudson High School alum, but just the things that he does for the city and for the school, it means so much. And for you guys to say, hey, come back and speak,
absolutely,
it means a lot to us too.
And, you know, I have to credit Mr. Abitabel. Each year he painstakingly, you know, kind of scours the community and thinks about what could this particular graduating class really, you know, benefit from. And each year he's been really great with having some keynote speakers that really speak to the hearts of the students that are graduating and to the families that are in the audience. So proud. So Rashad Barksdale came up on the list this year, and, you know, he asked me, what do you think? I said, fabulous, please get him. Ask him, hopefully he can come. And what's so wonderful about this is Rashad used to be one of those students sitting on that stage. And, you know, sometimes he became a huge athlete, you know, working on a team, was drafted. I don't want to say the wrong team because I know he was on
Kansas
two different
City.
Teams,
yeah.
but started with Kansas City, but then didn't he?
He went to the
Giants.
Giants. That's right. That's where
I forget what they call
Eagles.
Them.
I wanted to say it, but I was afraid I would,
it's okay.
Asked to leave.
No.
Nonetheless, he's a hero for our kids. This is what a lot of kids aspire to do. What do you want to do? I want to play football. He actually did that. He was, you know, offered that opportunity. And then he doesn't go away. He doesn't live here, but he comes back to Hudson. This is still his home, and he gives back to our community. He cares about kids. He's always running, you know, different programs that they can participate in and building them up and helping them to see that he can be a true role model for them and have them follow him. And it's just wonderful. I can't wait for graduation this year to see what he has to say and share with our students. Once before I met with him when I was running the Investments in Youth not-for-profit program that I had, and he came to a dinner and he spoke to our students then, and it was very inspiring. He talked about, you know, character and believing in yourself and that anything is possible. And so I'm thinking that, you know, he might be talking to our graduates along that line as well.
Yeah, I know one thing, and we talk to Rashad a lot, but I know one thing is that he just tries to point out, just because you come from a small city or a small school, it doesn't mean you can't reach the top. And I think that's going to probably be his line, because he says it to us all the time. And like I said before, thank you very much, because he does so much, and he actually brings me, Slay, and Ray, and gets us involved to help out and gives us an opportunity to be more active in our community. You know, we kind of let him back in, you know.
We open the door.
I think he exhibits for our, just as a role model, he exhibits for our kids a sense of confidence and, you know, a sense of you can do it, giving them the confidence that they need. And also resiliency. You know, you don't always make it the first time. You have to put a lot of hard work into what you do. He wasn't drafted just because he was hanging out and happened to have some talent. He was drafted because he put everything he had into practicing and getting more and more involved in his sport, so that his practice made more perfect athlete that he is.
Indeed.
Now, you were here last week for our scholarship winner.
Yep.
Tell us about that experience, and for a student from our district to win that scholarship.
You know, that opens up a gateway for Michael Walters was the recipient of the
Mentor Foundation's
scholarship, $40,000 over 4 years. That's huge because college is so expensive, but we don't want barriers for our students. We want to break down those barriers. And Michael deserves this. You know, she's an active participant of our high school. She's a role model for other students, and she seizes opportunities. So, you know, this scholarship didn't just come to her. She had to apply for it. She needed to write an essay, and she needed to have a compelling story of why she is worthy of this scholarship. So she earned it. She earned it by applying herself and opening the opportunities for herself. You can't get things if you don't go for them. And she went for it, and you know, she's reaping the benefits of that now. So I think it helps our students know that there's organizations out there besides the people in their lives that will support them so that their dreams can become a reality. I'm a graduate from St. Rose, so I'm just delighted that, you know, that's her school of choice. I think she is on a great pathway to aspire to who she could and should be in life.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have one last comment. Okay. We have a listener who doesn't always listen, but it's funny today that she is tuned in and has been, like, commenting on everything. But she said, amazing job by the both of you, and she can't think of anything to say that you could have done better on.
Well, that's so great.
That's coming from
Asia. She doesn't have
any
suggestions for improving the school district?
Thank you.
I think she's just happy that I told her that we're installing swings at the intermediate school. Every once in a while, I get a suggestion from Miss Asia, and she said, I want swings at the elementary school, and they will have them.
Nice. So thank you very much. Let's go over when to vote, where to vote, and what time, and then...
Okay, so once again, it's next Tuesday, May 15th, and our polling locations open at noon. Okay. And there are three polling locations, depending on where you live. There's the John L. Edwards Primary School, 360 State Street, the Greenport Community Center, 500 Town Hall in Hudson, but it's a Greenport address, and the A.B. Shaw Firehouse on Route 67 in Claverick.
And this is another one of those votes where you have to turn it over. There will be something on the back, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And the polls
that was
are
my
open.
Question. You stole it on me.
The polls are open until 9 o'clock. Okay. And besides the repair reserve, please vote for our board members. We have Willette Jones and Lucy Seagar also running for the seats that they currently occupy. Yep. They're dedicated. They are at every meeting and they're at events. And you know, they're really an invaluable part of the team. So please vote for your board members as well.
Two amazing women right there. Yes, they're
signed. Definitely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll love to have you back whenever you want to come back.
Okay.
All right.